Joshua chapter 2, if you can find your place there with me, please. Joshua chapter 2. You know, coming here today and just realizing that how the Lord is working in our midst, I just give Him all the praise and glory, but I also want to just take some time to thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your desire to make folks feel welcomed here, your spirit of hospitality and kindness and grace, and your faithfulness to be here. That makes a big difference too. And appreciate your faithfulness there. I do want to just briefly read here. We have a thank you note that was sent from the Steadmans. They just wanted to send a note of thanks for their time here. I'll read a couple highlights here. It says that it was a joy being back at Crooked Creek. And he says, I sensed the blessing of the Lord on the Sunday services in a special way. I shared with the staff this morning to pray for those visitors who've made decisions, as well as the young ladies who raised their hands. God is doing a work in your midst, and we rejoice. We look forward to the next divine appointment that will bring us together in fellowship, Bud Steadman. And you guys always make them feel super welcome too, and we love having them. All right, find your Bibles there, Luke chapter 2. Luke. Now I was thinking about you, Luke, putting that sign up, telling me to turn my mic on, and Luke was on my mind. All right, so am I on, brother? Okay, good. All right, Joshua chapter 2 is what we're going to do here, and I hesitate to read this chapter, but I think I will, and we'll just draw some conclusions just for what I believe the Lord would have us to discuss and to look over tonight. So notice with me in your Bibles, Joshua chapter 2. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went out, I wot not. Pursue them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. And then she let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, and thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be, that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, According to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went, and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Joshua chapter 2. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we look at the Word of God tonight, I pray that You would direct us to these truths that You want us to grasp this evening. Lord, I pray, Spirit of God, that You will apply it to each of our lives in a way that only You know how. And I just pray, God, that we would all rejoice tonight that You are a merciful Savior. And You desire to deliver people, Lord, Your creation from Your wrath. And so, Lord, I am praying that even tonight that we would see Your Spirit work again. If there's anyone here, Lord, that is not yet trusted Christ as their Savior, help them to make that decision tonight. And those of us that have made the decision, may we be revived, Lord, and strengthened in the faith. And we'll give You the praise and glory now, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Tonight's message is entitled this, Rahab's Faith, Rahab's Faith. It also could be entitled this, God is preparing hearts. God, remember, church, is always preparing hearts. He's working all the time, all around us. He's working in and through us, and He is working in people's lives all around us. And Rahab is going to be a beautiful demonstration that God is always working. As we think upon this time of year, this season, we think of, some of you do anyways, think of gardening. Some of you are thinking about how you will receive some of those things from somebody else's garden later on this summer, perhaps. Maybe some of those fresh tomatoes or the fresh squash or some okra or whatever it might be. But nevertheless, right now is the time of season where there's some tilling going on. Has anybody tilled their garden? Okay, we got several around, and that's already being done. And if you have it, like myself, hopefully it will be done soon. And as you get ready to plant that garden, and hopefully it'll be another good one and bring an abundance of fruit. But nevertheless, that preparation work is necessary. You're getting the ground ready for the seeds that you will plant, for those plants that you will put in, you're getting it ready. Well, I hope that will be a vivid illustration to all of us tonight that God's always tilling a garden somewhere. And it's always on the heart of the human heart. And God was doing a tilling work in a lady by the name of Rahab. Her heart was being prepared for the Word of God and for the salvation that He offers to all. And as we have read the account here in Joshua chapter 2, I want us to see the life of Rahab and draw some truths from her life that I think will be helpful, because she had prepared her heart and she responded in faith as they had come. Now, it's very possible, church, that she had already made a decision of faith by the time these Hebrew soldiers arrived, these Israelites arrived. But it definitely became evident when they arrived, as she had an opportunity to demonstrate that. And we'll look at that here in just a moment. But as we look at this, may we understand tonight that the most important thing about a person is their faith in God. That is the most important thing about a person. And this is what we see in Rahab's life. You see, what I want to look at tonight is, as we look at real biblical faith, which is necessary for salvation, was Rahab's faith genuine? Was it sincere? And I believe the Scriptures will testify that it indeed was. One of the things we know about Rahab from not only this passage, but perhaps one we'll look at here in just a moment, was also, you can note, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, Rahab is mentioned. What's an interesting note there that I'd bring out here in a moment is that there are two women that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hall of Faith. One was Sarah. It was a godly woman, wife of Abraham, and how she exercised faith in the Lord in her old age and trusted God for that miracle, who would have a godly heritage and just simply a lady that was known for being with her husband Abraham, the father of the Hebrew children, of the Hebrew nation. But then we find this Gentile, Rahab, in this hall of faith. So you have the Jewish woman there, Sarah, and then you have this Gentile woman who was not just a Gentile, but she was an Amorite, which was the one of the vilest of the vile among the Gentiles. They were of the Canaanite people. But they were the Amorites, and they had the worst testimony of all the different tribes that were surrounding them. And one of the things that we see right in the beginning of this account is to understand how God loves sinners. As we discussed this morning, as I preached, yes, God's wrath is very real. It's very evident, and it's very near. But what goes overpowering His wrath for those that are still under His wrath is His grace. When they believe upon the salvation that He offers through Jesus Christ, His Son, and His precious blood. Because the fact of the matter is, God didn't come for the righteous. He came for those that are sinners. And this is a perfect illustration of that. Now, Rahab was indeed a harlot. Now, in the Hebrew word here, it can also mean simply a keeper of an inn. But we are clear, I believe it is made clear that she was indeed a prostitute, because the Greek word used in our New Testament is definitely the word for prostitute. And this woman sold her body for a living. And she was living that type of lifestyle, a vile and abusive lifestyle. She was taken advantage of. And that's how she paid her bills. That's how she lived her life. And God saw this woman, and He demonstrated His love to her and to all the people of Jericho by allowing them to hear about the power of God and seeing God part the Red Sea. You see, they had heard this report. the people of Jericho, and they were fearful, Rahab says. But nevertheless, of all the city, there was this one woman. There was this one woman who had faith that God was real. You talk about going against the culture. Think about this with me. Of all the people surrounding her, she would hear this news and she herself would respond that there is something to this and I am going to believe it. And through that, God is going to lead two witnesses. By the way, this is another testimony, church, and let us remember it. God is preparing the heart. And as you, as a believer, which could be symbolic of the two Israelite soldiers, is it any coincidence? And no, I don't believe in coincidences, but we know it is no coincidence that God led these men to Rahab. How? We don't know all the details, but somehow or another, these men were directed by the Holy Spirit, by God Himself, to go to this woman's house, the one who God was preparing her heart, the one who was responding to the light she had. Isn't that amazing? It's a miracle. And this is the beautiful thing about it. And we can't lose this, church. God is seeking to do that with you every single day. He is leading you and me to people whose hearts are being prepared for the gospel. Doesn't mean somebody's going to get saved every day. I'm not suggesting that. It's possible. But the truth of the matter is, wherever you go and you be faithful, God is preparing those around you. And that's what happened with Rahab. And they did reach her. Some suggest that it was a strategy. Because not that these men were going to seek to be immoral with Rahab, but the fact that she would not be of the type that would ask too many questions. And that's just a suggestion. But the fact of the matter is, God led them there, and she would exercise faith, as we see here in just a moment. But I cannot go further without reminding us too about Rahab's testimony. This dear sister in the Lord who was living that lifestyle, God in His mercy reached out to her. And remember, just even what we were saying this morning, I mentioned the wrath of God upon sinners, but we just need to be reminded of all the time that His mercy is seeking to reach out and grab us and embrace us in those moments. And those positions that we're in. And that's what happened. And you know, not only did God save her, but God would put Rahab in the genealogy of the Messiah. And we're reminded where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And be encouraged where you see sin abounding somewhere around you or in your life. I want to tell you, grace can much more abound. And I just believe that is awesome. And we find her name there in Matthew chapter 1 verse 5. And she went from being a prostitute to being a daughter of the Most High God and used mightily of Him. She went from a prostitute to being an ancestress of Jesus Christ, the King, the Messiah. And boy, I tell you, we can only give God the glory for that. But you know, it began by her responding to the light that God gave her. And that's something that I believe with all my heart as we get further into Romans chapter 1, something that will help, I think, each of us here to understand how God responds to people. I believe God responds to everyone that responds to the light they have. To the light they have. And what I mean responding is that the people out there, if they respond to the revelation they know, because everyone knows that there's a God, even though they may deny Him inside, there is internally built in a consciousness of God from every person through creation and conscience. But the fact of the matter is, when people respond to the testimony, the witness of God, He gives more light. And this is, again, a perfect example. I'd like to notice several characteristics about Rahab's faith here. Number one, I want us to see, if you're taking notes tonight, that her faith moved into action. Her faith moved into action. We see how Joshua sent these two soldiers. And again, I'm not going to be able to cover every aspect of this passage. I am seeking to get through Joshua this year. And so we're not going to be able to hit everything. I did cover, how many verses did I cover this morning? One. All right. Or did I get two? All right. But we will pick up in the coming verses. But nevertheless, it's interesting to note that these two soldiers that went in were, it was a strategy of Joshua. He did not send more than that. I believe these two had the vision of Joshua and Caleb. I believe they had been trained. I believe they understood what God was doing, and they went forth to do what they were supposed to do. And it was not to prepare whether or not they should go into the land. They already all knew that, but it was deciding on how they would attack. What was it they were going against? And so again, there was some strategy involved there from the commander Joshua sending these men. But notice that her faith moved in the action when these two soldiers came into town and specifically came to her house. She is going to hide them. And upon them coming in, she decides to send them up. And in verse 6 says to hide them in the stalks of flax there on top of the roof. And that's where she would send. And then as the soldiers of Jericho and the authorities there came to ask, she is going to cover them up, and not only with the flax, but she is actually going to tell a lie. And there has been a lot of debate on, it was this okay to tell a lie? And I'm not getting on all of those things tonight. But I will say this. I do believe it is not right. I believe, we believe that lying is definitely condemned in the Word of God. There's no gray area there. It is obvious that lying is condemned in the Word of God. But I do believe, as we look at the life of Rahab and the lie she told about, hey, they were passing through and you might want to catch up with them, they're gone this direction. You know, before we get too hard on her, there's a couple things we do need to consider. Remember, Rahab was a young believer. She just had been saved in the recent time, and there's what probably wasn't a lot of discipleship going on in her life. Okay. And so as a new believer, you want to grant some mercy, especially in the light that some of the most godly people, on earth, some of the people that are the foundation of the scriptures, like Abraham, had a problem with lying. Isaac and Jacob, King David. These men, I'm not saying it makes it right. It's not justifying lying, but we got to remember that sometimes we need to be careful on how severely we judge people. And in this case, she was doing it maybe out of fear, but the one thing that we have to conclude, it does not remove the fact that she still exercised faith simply by hiding them, because God would not have put her in Hebrews chapter 11 if it was not real, genuine, sincere faith. He also uses her as an example in James chapter 2, because she showed her faith by her works. And so there is a testimony given there. So again, There are different feelings around that. Could God still have preserved those Israelites without her lying? Of course He could have. He's God. And we have to be very sure of that. And that God does not need us to lie. And I'll just say that clearly. But another thing that we need to look at from a perspective is this. Put yourself in somebody's shoes, where somebody you love dearly and their life is being threatened. changes up a little bit, doesn't it? If somebody's trying to kill my children, I know where they're hiding. I'm not going to sit here and tell you tonight that I wouldn't lie. But the point is, we can't miss the point, because the point is the very fact that this woman exercised faith because she put her life on the line by simply letting those men in and actually hiding them. And she did that because she believed she was doing the right thing, and she did do the right thing by hiding them. Because through that, God is going to manifest Himself to her and reveal Himself to her in such a way where she is going to continue growing in the Lord and be used mightily of her God and King and her Savior. But we see here, Rahab demonstrated a great faith. In fact, one author noted that she displayed a greater faith than the 10 spies had displayed 40 years earlier. Because of what she said, if you notice in verse 9 of chapter 2, it says, "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land." This young believer had more faith than those 10 spies. It says, "And that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." I didn't plan on saying this, but is this not a testimony, ladies and gentlemen, of all those Israelites that have died off by now, who couldn't go into the land? If they only knew what this is saying right now, back when they went into the land, can you only imagine? Let that put a fire in your bosom tonight, that exercise faith, though you can't see it, and though there is fear and doubt, and though there does not seem a way, just believe God. Because the very people that they felt like little grasshoppers, they said, "We'll never get over them." Those very people, ladies and gentlemen, were terrified. That's what God does. That is what God does indeed for us. He goes before us and prepares hearts in ways that we couldn't even imagine. He opens the door that no man can close. He closes the door that no man can open. I tell you, it is God who goes before us. The people of Jericho were trembling, and they knew their lives were in danger. But we see that her faith was moved into action. And I believe that we too need to demonstrate that tonight as we go forward in our lives. Be willing to put our lives on the line. Be willing to be embarrassed. Be willing to do whatever it takes to make sure our testimony is strong and pure and sure. No matter what, the Lord will help us in that. But not only do we see her faith moved into action, but secondly, we see her faith had compassion. Her faith had compassion. Notice with me verses 12. As we see here, her faith was moved with compassion. Notice it says, "Now therefore, I pray you," as she has communicated with these two soldiers, she says, "I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you also will show kindness," now get it, "unto my father's house, and give me a true token." And she goes on to, in verse 13, to say, "Please, that you will save my mom and dad, my brothers and my sisters and all of their children and family, and deliver our lives from death." You know, a token of true salvation, not only is people moving by faith and moving into action and demonstrating that they really do believe, but you know, a true indication that people have the Lord in their life is they have a true compassion for others, especially their family, especially their blood, those that they are perhaps closest to, whether it be aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews, brother, sister. There was an immediate burden of hers saying, "Now please, I'm asking you, since I have helped you, I pray you'd save my family too. You know, we see that pattern in Scripture, don't we? You remember in the New Testament when Andrew got saved? What did Andrew do? Who did he go and tell? His brother, which was Peter. Look what God did with those boys. Look what God did with Peter. Peter was a rough fisherman. I'm sure cussed with the best of them. God saved him. Called him to be an apostle. Used him. That's what the Lord's wanting to do. We also see it with the leper that got saved and got cleansed. And the leper went to tell everybody he could. He went to spread the news. I think about the Philippian jailer. When he got saved, right when he was getting ready to commit suicide. And he was going to take his own life. And Paul said, no! Don't do it! And this Philippian jailer, who obviously had heard Paul and Silas singing praises to God in the prison and showing a true faith that was evidenced, that it was real, it was genuine, it wasn't just surface. I tell you, it made an impact on that man. And he got born again. The devil didn't win that one. Hallelujah. And he got saved. You know what he did? He went and led his family to Christ. He got a burden for his kids and for his family. He didn't want them to go to hell. He wanted them to be saved. And he said, I got to go tell them. And the Bible says that they were saved as well. And the whole family was baptized. Her faith had compassion. You know, there were some parallels there and, you know, in the illustration of telling people, but it's interesting in the passage, you remember when those soldiers said, now Rahab, besides her family, of course, you can't tell anybody we are here. If the deal's off, if you give us away. Now, it's the opposite for us now. When we get saved, when we trust Christ, God has given us the liberty and the command to tell everybody. To spread the news all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That is indeed what we are to do. Warren Wiersbe put it this way. If Rahab talked too much, her life was in danger. But if we don't talk enough, the lives of lost people around us are in danger. And so, ladies and gentlemen, tonight as we look at the life of Rahab, may we remember that her faith was genuine and God can save anybody and He will save anybody that will come to Him in faith. Her faith was no different than Sarah's faith. Her faith was no different than Joshua and Abraham's faith. It's the same faith. It's the same faith you got saved by. It is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace alone that is the faith that saves. And that faith will move you into action to doing things that are great for God, that puts yourself aside. It'll give you a passion for your family, compassion for them and for those around you. But then lastly tonight, would you notice with me, her faith rested on a promise. Her faith rested on a promise. And what was that promise? Those men said, we will be back. This city will be destroyed, but we will spare you. And what was it that was to be a symbol of that promise, of that covenant? We see that in verse 15. Notice what we have here. It says, then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And it's going to go on down further, if you notice, and there in verse number 19, and it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and he will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in thine house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And notice in verse 21, after this oath has been made, and she said, according unto thy word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Now, this was not her salvation. Let's make that very clear. The rope, the red rope, was not the salvation. It simply represented, it was a token of the covenant that those men made with her. It was a representation of her faith and the promise of God. And the fact that they would be delivered, she and her family, according to what they had talked about, upon the word that they had given her. There are other instances of that in Scripture, is there not? Do you remember? I mean, if we could go through the covenants, that's a good study of the Word of God, the different covenants of the Bible. But one of them, you'll remember Abraham. The token, the Abrahamic covenant is seen symbolically through circumcision for the children of Israel. I think of Noah. What was that promise that God gave? What was the symbol that God gave Noah that he would not destroy the earth again with a flood? What was it? The rainbow. The beautiful, beautiful rainbow. God gave that as a promise, as a token of the promise that he had made that he would not destroy the earth again with the flood. I'm looking forward tomorrow. We leave out early tomorrow morning and going to have the privilege of be our first time going to the ark. And so we're taking the family on spring break to go up one day to the Creation Museum and then one day to the ark. And I tell you, I already feel like a kid in a candy store. I'm just thrilled and excited about going. And I'm just looking forward to just letting my kids see it. And for us to be reminded of God's faithfulness, of God's promise. We also see these tokens in the New Testament, do we not? The death of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a symbol, don't we? What is that? It's the bread and the juice. It is that which is symbolic of His death. It is, we remember His death, and it's a reminder that He's coming again. It reminds us of that, and that's what that cord is. And my friends, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, every time I think of the cross, every time I think of the blood, I can be assured that my salvation is settled forever. Thank God I don't have to get saved over and over and over and over again. Jesus Christ doesn't have to be nailed to the cross again and again and again. The Bible says He died once and for all. That's the teaching of eternal security. When one gets truly born again, that salvation is forever. And my friend, today we need to rejoice in that. And we don't need to doubt what God has done indeed. This dear lady Rahab truly let this rope down. It was symbolic of her faith. She was not budging. She had truly received the Most High God as her Savior. It was God Himself that she had believed in. And there's a reminder to you and me this morning that, listen, we can have all the right answers. There are people here tonight, I'm sure, can give the gospel, and I hope so. But just because you have the right answers does not mean you have salvation. Because we got to remember, salvation, me being saved, I'm not saved by the plan of salvation. I am saved by the person of salvation. And that's why you can quote the Scriptures, you can give the Romans road and still be lost. Because the truth of the matter is, it's got to be a matter of the will, submitting to the truth that is there and putting your faith personally in Christ your Lord. And if you've never done that in your life, maybe you've lived on the coattail of somebody else's faith. Maybe you're depending on some good works. Maybe you're depending on a symbol. and you truly just need to come to the end of yourself and realize that you need to come to God just like you are and be saved by the grace of God. If you're here tonight and want to make that decision, I want to encourage you to do it. And I want to tell you as we close out this message tonight, folks, imagine Rahab and grabbing and all her family together. And by the way, we do need to remember as well, Rahab's family, they had to believe personally as well. So the daddy and the mama and the brothers and the sisters that got into that house where Rahab was, we have to assume that they truly and personally believed in God Himself. Because that indeed is what she said she was going to do. She was going to bring them in and they were going to be preserved. And I believe that God worked in their hearts as well. And how grateful I am to know that God is working in the hearts of my family. He's working in the hearts of your family. And we must not give up. And I think also as those walls came crumbling down when they marched around that city, which we're going to be talking about here very soon, I can only imagine what was going on in those other people's minds as the whole world was caving in. And can I say in application of what we're going through today, please listen to me. Everybody here, can I have your undivided attention, especially our young people who are battling it more than anybody, I believe, from the pressure around you. But I'm telling you, the walls of this culture are crumbling. They're weak. And they are going to fall down just like this. You may not see it falling now, but I'm telling you, it's going to come down. And my encouragement to you is get in the room with God. You might be the minority. You might just be with a few people. But I'm telling you, it's the faith of Rahab, who was a prostitute, who came to God and got forgiven and got right with God and was used mightily of the Lord. My dear friends, may we be encouraged by the faith of Rahab tonight. Would you pray with me?